Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise God in the heights.
Praise God. Praise him, all the angels and all the heavenly hosts. Praise God, sun and moon. Praise God, all the shining stars.
Praise God, you highest heavens and the waters above the heavens.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all who live in the deeps. Mountains and hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Wild animals, all cattle, creeping things and flying birds.
Kings of the earth, all peoples, young men and women alike, old and young together, let us praise God with our hearts and lips.
Let us praise God with our music and song.
Let us praise God with our worship and our lives. Please be seated.
You can sit if you want, but I have a better idea. Let us praise God by passing the peace to one another. Let us praise God by loving one another and extending a hand in fellowship and joy. The peace of Christ be with you. And now, friends, you may indeed be seated. Good morning. In the name of Jesus Christ and through his Spirit, I bid you welcome to the First Congregational Church, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. Friends, you are welcome here if you are single, if you are married, if you are a partner, divorced, or widowed, for here we will partner with you. You are welcome if you are a parent or if you are a child of one, for here we will be family to you. You are welcome here if you know exactly what you believe or if you have no idea what to believe, for here we will share our faith with you. You are welcome here if you love people whose bodies look like yours, or if you love people whose bodies look different, for here we are all together one body in Christ. You are welcome if you are from here or if you have traveled afar, for our God is here, there, and everywhere. You are welcome if you are saint or sinner, for God knows we are all a little of both. In case you haven't figured it out quite yet, everyone, yes, all of you, are welcome, you are needed, and we are so happy that you are here. I have a couple of announcements about the life of this place, and as I give my announcements, I invite anyone else who has one to come forward to the microphone so that you will be prepared to make yours. First, I want to point out in the pew that there are these cards. These cards are there for those of you who do not know us well yet to give us your name and contact information so that we can reach out back to you. Please fill it out, give us as much as you can, and put it in the offering plate as it goes by. Second, it is great to see so many of you again here this morning. For those of you who missed it last night, you missed something fantastic. This room was full. This room was full of love, it was full of the Spirit, it was full of music. Our dear Tracy Wilson, sitting way back there, She directed the Stockbridge Festival Chorus in a rousing production of Elijah, featuring our own John Demler. And so many others in our choir were there as well. It was glorious, so thank you. As many of you might know our history, this church and this town was founded as a mission to the Mohican Indians. On the 11th of May, the church is partnering with the town and with many other organizations to sponsor a day-long event about Mohican history in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. It is something that begins at 8:30 down at Town Hall. It includes a number of lectures and discussions. The afternoon features a walking tour of some of the sites and will end here at this church for closing worship, a chance to close the day together. And so there are these pamphlets out in the Jonathan Edwards room. I invite you to pick one up if you're interested. Also, if you are around next Saturday and can lend a hand, please let me know because we'll be hosting a number of folks here. What other announcements do we have on this day?
Good morning, I'm Michelle Gillette. And I'm happy to announce that next Sunday we're celebrating Brent's installation. You may think he's already installed, but actually, we're doing it next Sunday at 4 o'clock. And it's an opportunity for all of us to come and welcome Brent. I know we've already done it, but as the pastor of this church, and it's going to be a wonderful welcoming and reception. And so everybody in the church is invited, and you're also invited to help us with food because we don't know how many people are coming. It could be, Brent guesses, 100, 200, but the church will undoubtedly be filled. So if anybody would like to make a quiche or a salad, please see me or Cindy Brown because we could really use some help with that. And please do come because it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful occasion. Thank you.
If there are no other announcements, one of the other things I am excited about this morning is that school vacation week is over. You guys may not be excited, but I am happy to see you back here. And at this point, I would invite all the children to come on forward. Oh, you all right? Okay, I like that. Wow. It is great to see you guys this morning. So who here had a great time on school vacation? Who would like to have another school vacation right now? I trust that answer. Well, this morning, we have a great story to share with you. We're going to share part one of a story, and later in worship, we're going to share part two of the story with all of the adults. Part one of the story involves Jesus and his disciples. Now, Jesus and his disciples spent a lot of time traveling around doing things like teaching and healing and all those sorts of things. Yeah? You planted a lot of plants. That is a good thing. It is spring. I'm glad you did it. Carrots and lettuce are good, and that's wonderful. Tell me all about it later. So here's a question for you. As Jesus and his disciples traveled from town to town, how did they get from town to town? Who knows? Those 2 feet. They walked. They walked everywhere. Now, what kind of shoes do you think they wore? They wore sandals, absolutely open shoes. And here's the other question. What kind of roads do you think they walked on? Actually, they weren't that hard. What kind of roads do you think they were? Sand or dirt roads. And sometimes those roads were muddy. And you know what? Those same roads were used by people to drive their sheep and their cattle. And so In addition to mud and dirt, there were other things on the road you had to watch out for, I know. And so what do you think people's feet were like after traveling a long distance on that road? Yeah, pretty gross, huh? So here's what happened. It was customary at that time, when you got to somebody's house for dinner, Irving, I'm going to scoot right between you here. Can you move just a moment? It was customary at dinner, when people invited people over, to have one of these at their house. Now, what do you think this was used for? Yeah. Washing feet. Yes, it was a sign of hospitality to have a bowl of water out so that the guests could wash their own feet. It's kind of like us washing our hands today. They would wash their own feet. But here's a very special story on this day. Jesus invited his friends, and their feet were dirty. And he invited them over to the house, and instead of putting out a bowl full of water for them, do you know what he did? He took off his robe. He took off the clothes he was wearing, and he used it as a cloth, and Jesus himself washed his disciples' feet. He washed their feet. They were gross. They were covered in dirt and mud and maybe something else. And Jesus washed it for him. And you know what his disciples said? At first they said, no, you shouldn't do this for me. And Jesus said, unless you let me serve you, unless you let me love you, you can't be my disciple. It's a very important story for us to remember. In a lot of churches, in fact, the practice is up to this day that we reenact this story of how much Jesus loves us. And you know what? We're going to do it right here. Marjorie has volunteered to let herself be served. And so this water here, as it would have been then, has a little bit of oil in it. It has a little bit of fragrant oil in it to smell good. Now, we don't know what Jesus said when he washed his disciples' feet, but here's what I think he said. He took a bit of cloth. He dipped it in water. He took the foot, and he looked into their eye and said, as I wash your feet, remember that you are loved and that you will always be loved. I think that's what he said to them. Isn't that kind of cool? Yeah. So here I have a question for you. My question for you is, in order to serve people, we're supposed to have our own feet washed so that we can love people. Is there anybody here who might want to get your own feet washed? All right. As I have washed Marjorie's feet, she is now ready to wash yours. So she and I, take off your shoes, take off your socks, and Marjorie and I, we will come and we will wash your feet. Let's bring this down. Yep. So take off those shoes, take off those socks. All right, if you want to start on that side. Remember that God loves you and Jesus loves you always. You are a beloved child of God. Anyone else?
Me.
Well, take off your shoes then. Remember that God loves you always. Go forth and love others the same. Anyone else have bare feet? Oh, there's one down there. I will come down there. Remember that God loves you. Go forth and love others just the same. And moms are here to put shoes back on. I love it. Kids, I don't know if we had made this offer to the adults out here, how many of them would have taken off their shoes. I hope and pray that as we journey together, more and more would. But remember this. Remember that we wash your feet because we want to serve you, so that you can love and serve other people. Okay? Before we send you off to Sunday school, let us do something else that Jesus taught us. Jesus taught us how to pray. And so let's pause on putting our socks and shoes on for just 1 minute, and let's all together in this room pray what Jesus taught us to pray. Ready? Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right, you can head on off to Sunday school classes. It's another way of serving, to wipe out. Thanks.
Our gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 31 to 35, 938 in your pew Bibles, if you'd like to follow along. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, and you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." May God add his blessing to the reading of this word.
Please be seated. Friends, will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. At 2:50 p.m. on Monday, April 15th, two bombs went off on Boylston Street during the running of the Boston Marathon, leaving in their wake three dead, 262 wounded, and a Commonwealth shaken. It would not be until 3:55 a.m. on Wednesday, April 24th, that Boylston Street would reopen to the people of Boston. And it would be the very next day that the Church of the Finish Line, Old South Church in Boston, would welcome the entire city to worship out on the sidewalk. They gathered hundreds and hundreds in merely 100 feet from those explosions to continue the healing process. The throngs who crowded into that sidewalk, they cried, they laughed, they hoped, they prayed, they sang, and they held hands together. Jim Antall, the conference minister for Massachusetts for the United Church of Christ, was there to offer some words, and he said this. He said, those bomb blasts opened fissures. He said, those bomb blasts opened fissures through which we could see clearly and unambiguously the truth of who we are as people. The reality that Jim was preaching about on that day is that if you want to know the true measure of a person's heart, if you want to see what is really most important to a person, you should watch them and watch them closely, either when they think no one is looking or in a moment when they don't have the time to consider the implication of their actions, a moment precisely like 2:50 p.m. on Monday, April 15th. Jesus told his disciples that in a moment like that one in Boston, those who follow Christ should be known by actions, that they should be known by love. He said that in the moments when you and I don't have time to think, when fissures are opened in the world, people will know the core of who you are by what you do. And what you should do is love, not just by your heart, but through your hands and through your lives. Love, Jesus said, is how this world will know who we follow. I'm a big fan of love. I love John. I do. I love him in a true and deep way. I love him in a silly way. I love him in a romantic way. It is a kind of love that makes my heart soar. It is a love that is returned to me in a great gift. It is a love that I think would make Jesus smile. And friends, it is not the kind of love that Jesus is talking about here to his disciples. The kind of love Jesus is talking about here to his disciples is a kind of love called agape. A love that is extended to neighbor solely because she is your neighbor, not for anything that she might do for you. Jean Outka, a scholar on love. And let's be real. If you could be a scholar on anything, wouldn't it kind of be fun to be a scholar on love? Anyway, Jean Outka, a scholar on love, says that agape, this kind of love, is love given completely and unalterably. It is to view your neighbor as irreducibly valuable before they have done anything for you at all. Agape love is not a simple matter. It's something that requires our whole beings. Agape love, in some ways, is going all in for your neighbor. Something that Jesus, who gives this commandment, knows a whole lot about. H. Richard Niebuhr says that to truly show love, to truly show agape, is to rejoice. It is to rejoice in the very existence of the neighbor and to longing for that neighbor whenever the neighbor is not present. To show agape, Niebuhr says, is to be grateful for the neighbor just as they are. It is to have reverence, he says, in the uniqueness of the other, not wanting to make your neighbor like yourself or not wanting to be your neighbor, but rather honoring them who they are. And finally, Niebuhr says, if it is agape, true agape has within it the willingness to be destroyed, Niebuhr says, rather than allowing that the other ceases to be. On that day, in the midst of bombs and fissures, we saw through those fissures agape. We saw a group of people, people who had just finished running a marathon. That is 26.2 miles, if you don't know, a very long way. They had just finished running a marathon when bombs went off around them. And the story is this. They stopped right after the finish line. They approached the first police officer they found, and looking back to what they saw, they said to that police officer, "Where is the nearest hospital?" And those runners ran another 2.5 miles to that hospital so that they could give blood, because they knew blood was going to be needed on that day. Agape was shown in the doctors and nurses who ran that marathon and upon finishing went straight to the medical tent and offered their services to neighbors they did not know. Agape is the love where hundreds, if not thousands, of Bostonians opened their homes to strangers they did not know and offered them shelter and a place to stay. I agree, those bombs, they opened fissures through which we got a chance to see who people really are. And in that moment, when there is no time for rational decisions, we saw love. Not just in hearts, but in lives. And I think Jesus would be smiling indeed. But the question that lies before us is, what would we do if we were there on that day? What would you or I have done in that split second there on Boylston Street if we were there? The thing is, we can't. We don't. There's no way to really know until a moment like that presents itself. But I do know this. What we can do is we can train and prepare for that moment, train our hearts and our bodies to love. But how? Well, I have some very good news for you. We have a head start in our training because you and I were genetically bred to love. That's right. In our very DNA is the capacity to love. Archbishop Desmond Tutu, who has seen more than his fair share of misery and violence and injustice in South Africa, he says this. He says, "I am convinced that we are good." He says, "I am convinced that God created us for goodness, that we cannot be truly and fully happy until others are too." And he says that he learned this by watching bombs blow up and seeing human love poured out. So know this, you're off to a good start. You were made to be good. But this kind of love, I think, requires additional training, because the kind of love Jesus is commanding and Niebuhr is talking about is not endorsed in this world, a world that says, look out for number one. If you watched the coverage of that day in Boston, you would have seen love. You would have noticed police officers and volunteers ripping down barriers and jumping over fences toward those explosions before runners even hit the ground being knocked over by the blast. People were already running towards danger. The kind of love to throw yourself into harm's way for the sake of a neighbor you do not know takes training. And I give thanks for our police and for the volunteers. Now, if you listened to Glenn says, "I give you a new commandment." He said, Jesus says, "I give you a new commandment." But this commandment to love one another, It is not new. Way back in Leviticus 19:18 are these words, "You should love your neighbor as yourself." Words written centuries before Jesus uttered these. But what is new in this commandment? And what we need to learn today is both the source of our ability to love and the model by which we do love. Christ is the source of our love. The first part of our training, friends, is great. It is simply swimming in the abundant love of Christ. Another way to translate the Greek in the new commandment is to hear Jesus say, "I have loved you in order that you might love someone else." Henry Nouwen reminds us that it is only when we can accept that God's love for us is not for what we've done, but for who we are, that we in turn can likewise love our neighbor. Only when we remember how Jesus washed the disciples' feet and our feet, that we can remember how to wash others too. Friends, that is something that happens here in this church. It happens on Fridays when a group of church people gather in fellowship to knit and to pray. In the silence, they encounter God's love, and then in their knitting, they create blankets to offer God's love. Our first part of training is simply to accept God's love. And then second, we are to look to Christ as the model and source for how to behave. We are to look at him as the compass in our own lives, just as two different groups of this church are doing, one on Thursday morning and the other on Tuesday evening. They are committing themselves to studying Luke's story of Jesus, not as an intellectual exercise, but as a training for love. In the miracles of Jesus feeding thousands, we can be inspired to hold an open table. As Jesus had uncounted miracles of healing, so can mission and action try to heal lives and even this planet. When we allow the love of Christ into our hearts, friends, it flourishes in all we do. Just after worship today, in that room, you know what's going to be there, right? There is going to be great food. There is going to be great fellowship. But today, there's going to be something different. There is going to be an opportunity fair. A chance for us to walk around and to hear from people who serve on the boards and ministries of this church, to hear people who are practicing and training for love. It is a chance to see if you want to join them in that endeavor. And as you talk to them, I urge you not just to talk about what they do, but to talk about how their work feeds their lives, how their work feeds their souls, how their work makes them better and deeper and richer people. "I give you a new commandment," Jesus says, "to love one another as I have loved you." To let his love so permeate our hearts and lives that anyone who watches us will know that we are Christians by our love. On April 15th, at 2:50 p.m., two bombs blew a fissure wide open, and we saw love pour out from thousands of people. I pray that our own lives are lived as waterfalls of tenderness, that both in moments where no one is watching and in those big moments where the whole world is, that you and I live fully, completely, and abundantly in Christ's love, offering love. Amen.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Children of God, when we pray, we lift our hearts to one another. We lift our lives to God. Here in this church, before we pray, we often share the joys and concerns of this community so that we may pray those things not just here and now, but in the days to come. And so I ask you, what joys and what concerns are on your hearts and minds this morning? Joy for you on this day, and Rudy, good to see you here and all your days.
We have been friends all these many years after being in college together at DePauw University in Greencastle, Indiana. It's a joy that we coincided in the Berkshires and share our lives.
Amen.
Our children are here to help mark this. We're very grateful.
Great. Yes. So we lift up, I had a hard time hearing, but we lift up your friends, family, Steve and Eileen on the death of their son. We lift them up in our prayers and pray that God has taken their, what is their son's name? I'm sorry? Stephen Jr. That God is holding Stephen Jr. in God's loving arms. Other joys and concerns this morning. We keep Amy in our prayers, recovering from brain surgery, and we keep the whole Stackhouse family in our prayers. We keep Carolyn, Joanne's friend, in our prayers, who is in a healing crisis. Keep her in your prayers. Friends, as we pray today, we remember that we are in Easter. And so today, as we pray, I will offer up intercessions and say the words, O God of love, and invite you then to say, raise us to new life in Christ. Let us pray. Loving God, in this season of Easter rejoicing, we come together to lift up our prayers to you. We come to share our thanks. And we come to reveal our sorrows. We come to lift up those for whom we love, and we come to lift up strangers and neighbors in need, to pray for hopes and dreams, and even more, God, we come to pray that your will might be done in our lives. We pray for the well-being of your creation, that we might care for it as you have called us to, that we might find delight and beauty in it. O God of love, for the welfare of your world, that all leaders, young and old, will strive to live together in harmony, that citizens will treat one another with love and respect, and that all will strive for the common good and show compassion. O God of love, for all who suffer any violence or pain or grief, for those in Boston and Texas picking up pieces of life torn apart, for those who suffer violence even within their homes, for those who mourn those who are lost, and for those who live in the midst of emptiness, O God of love, for all who have died, and especially for Stephen Jr., we pray that you will bring them into the fullness of your joy, where mourning and pain will be no more, O God of love. For the love made known to us in Jesus Christ through this community, for the love made known to the world through any community of faith, for the blessings of table, of font, and fellowship, O God of love, for all the blessings of life and love, for all we are, and for all we might yet be, O God of love. And let us all say, Amen. Friends, Jesus gave us a new commandment, to love one another. Let us show that love now here, through the gifts of our treasure. This morning's offering will now be given and received.
Moved down.
Holy and loving God, we give you thanks. It is with gratitude that we present these gifts to you. We ask that you bless these gifts, that they might go out from this place as faithful signs of your love to the world. And God, we ask that you bless our hearts, that we may honor Jesus' new commandment to love fully, truly, and deeply. Bless these gifts and all who have given them and all who are here. And let the church say, Amen. Please be seated. So, friends, our time of worship of God here in this room is coming to a close. That our worship of God beyond these walls might begin anew. But before you go, I have a few invitations for you. Again, go through these doors, and there you will find food laid out on tables. But here's the thing. The food is on each of 9 different tables, representing the boards and ministries of this church. Those boards and ministries of this church have brought that food for you as a sign of hospitality. And if you want to get the food, you got to go talk to them. So that's the first thing. Second, I want to make sure to invite you back here for 2 different worship services next week. In the morning, Evan and the choir has been working on a special service where we will glorify God through music. There will be tons of great hymn singing. There will be great anthems sung. We will join together by making a joyful noise to God. It's going to be great. Don't miss it. And then I do hope that you might come back at 4 o'clock next Sunday to install me as your pastor. It is a time where we make promises and commitments. It is also, though, quite frankly, an important moment where we honor and recognize this church's place in the larger community. It is a moment where we recognize who we are, to whom we belong, and the community in which we serve. It will be a big hootenanny, and I hope you're here to enjoy it. Friends, let's close our worship with some singing.
Thank you.
sisters and brothers, as you go forth from this place, may the God of love and life give you grace to grow in hope, to deepen in a faith, and to abound in love. Friends, peace be with you on this day and every day. And let the people say, Amen.